It's from Paul's wonderful 8th chapter of Romans, and we're going to be reading the last part of that chapter, verses 31 to 39. And Paul begins in verse 31, "What then shall we say in response to this?" So what is this that he's asking us to respond to? Well, in the verses before that, he's reminded us that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, and through our faith in him, our sin is forgiven, we've been freed from condemnation, we've been made children of the living God, and God has put his Spirit in our hearts to teach us to live in a way that's pleasing to him, and to give us a longing for that day when Jesus will return and finish that work he's begun in us, and we will be made perfectly like him. And not only that, but the whole of creation will be renewed at his coming to be all that God intended it to be. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Sorry, all these lovely technical things.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed for the invitation to come and share, particularly regarding the work of Open Doors and what is happening in Iraq. Now, can you hear me, everybody? Is that all right? Please put your hand up if I'm not clear. I thought it would be good, first of all, to think a little bit about what is happening and the situation in Iraq, and looking at the scripture that we've just read. But I also have a small video clip and one or two things to share from there. And I'm hoping that we'll just identify a little bit with what we've just been doing in the other venue, Secret Church. Now, I'm wearing a T-shirt, and it's got the sign, I don't know if any of you have seen this, N, for Nazarene. And in Iraq, the ISIS people have been swabbing the doors with N, and they know which Christian homes, which businesses to target. And you can put it on Facebook, you can get a T-shirt and identify the proceeds of which actually go to support our brothers and sisters in Iraq. I think enough news we have about the atrocities, so I don't need to go in any of that. But how does it make you feel? I find that it sometimes is just too much to watch. It's okay to hear it on the radio, but I can't bear to watch anymore. And I'm able, thankfully, we can bring it to God in prayer and pray for our Christian brothers and sisters and the children. They are part of our worldwide family. It's not them, it's us who are being really so atrociously treated in these days. And I don't know about you, but I find the scripture that we've just read, for years I've read that, and it's been comforting, it's been a help. But doesn't it bring reality home when we look at it now? And it talks, doesn't it? I'll just turn to it. When it says particularly, for your sake we are killed every day. No, wait a minute. It says even further, can anything separate us? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? And that is just what our brothers and sisters are facing right now. And many of them are asking, as I'm sure you and I would, why? But we have this wonderful assurance that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever we go through, whether it be here in UK, whether we're going through difficult times here, or whether it is our brothers and sisters in Iraq, it's the same God we worship. It's the same God who loves us, always will love us, and will love us, and continue to do so. The ISIS that we've heard about, the Islamic State that these people are wanting to bring in, is a very severe form of Sharia law, which goes right back to medieval times. And they have been imposing an impossible to pay tax, which is supposed to protect the Christians, and it was supposed to just say, okay, you pay the tax and we won't harm you. But also they're saying, you are forbidden to say anything. You are not to share your faith at all. Isn't this a challenge to us here in UK? We are free to talk about Jesus. But there, if they even mention the name of Jesus, or just known to be Christians, their lives are in absolute danger, as we have read about and seen on the television. Open Doors has been working in Iraq for a number of years, providing Bibles, giving training to leaders in the churches, and they may be small in number, but training leaders so that if one leader has to go into prison, there are still others to lead the church. They've been providing counseling, especially when there's trauma, bereavement, or whatever. They're involved in young people's and children's ministry. And with the support, financial support that's given, they're also able to provide microloans. You may have heard it in other organizations, but just giving a small amount of money to us here in UK will be sufficient for somebody to start up their own business and hopefully become self-sufficient, pay back the loan, and that money can then be given to yet another Christian. Because once you become a Christian, for Muslim background believers, once they're known to be Christians, they're out of their job. We're experiencing a little bit this over here. I don't know if you've seen in the news or you get the Christian Concern News or Christian Institute counselling. But there's just a little touch, but nothing like our brothers and sisters are experiencing over there. So it's a joy to be able to experience and to see just what is happening. Now, what's happening now is that there are relief programs and Open Doors, together with other organizations and with the local churches, are providing sort of relief packs, so that there are hygiene packs, which are toothpaste, toothbrush, soap, disinfectant, and then food parcels with things like rice, noodles, canned fish, cooking oil. And these will last maybe a family of four or five for about a week. And the appeal that went out a few months ago has helped to keep on providing for over, let me just get the numbers right here. I think it's about, let me just see here if I've written it down. I think so. Well, anyway, I think we'd need to check on this, but I think it's 300,000. 3,000 seems a lot of money, lot of people. But anyway, a lot of people. It really has meant a lot to them. And I'd like to just read something from Raja, who was in Mosul and fled there a few years ago, and is instrumental in helping others who have now fled and are living as refugees in the northern part of Iraq. She says, "I hear that people around the world are praying for us and supporting us. To those people, I want to say thank you. You are far away, but you can reach us here with your support. Moreover, your thoughts and prayers are valuable, and God listens." Makrui trains Sunday school teachers and leads Bible studies for women in Iraq. Despite the risks, she continues to make the dangerous journey to visit women under her care. "The people in the villages are scared, and I'm worried as well," she says. "Still, I go out to do the training, because people are growing in faith when we go out. God answers our prayers." Raja continues, "These women know you are praying for them. They feel so encouraged by that. They asked me to pass on a special prayer request. Please pray for everything that is going on here. Pray that we will be strong amidst these times of turmoil. We as adults, but also our children." And I'd like us now just to look at a small video clip. There's Father Daniel, and he is working particularly with the children where the refugees are. And he is here on this clip, and he says here, "We thought we were alone, but now I know
that I'm on."
Family
faces. Visiting our family in Christ, hearing their stories, laughing with them, crying with them, just sharing our lives. Many church leaders also speak of their task in a relief as taking care of family. Like the young Father Daniel, one of the pastors managing the camp that we are visiting today.
They are a part of us, and everyone who came from Karakoş and also other places, we consider them as our brothers and sisters.
Father Daniel takes care of a special group among these relatives, the children. Many of them still have nightmares. A few weeks ago, their parents woke them up in the middle of the night because fighters of the Islamic State were approaching their town. Others had to pass the IS checkpoints, where they saw how violent soldiers humiliated their parents and stole everything from them. The soldiers also turned to them and took their pocket money, toys, and even the diapers their parents brought for them. Through a local partner, we as Open Doors helped Father Daniel to buy a tent for the children. Through that same local partner, we also organized a training for the children's workers. Every evening, when it gets cooler, there are activities for the children, and sometimes also for the adults. There are Bible stories, but also games and movies. I tell Father Daniel about the many Christians around the world that feel connected to the Iraqi Christians as a family. He is very encouraged to hear that.
In such a situation, we thought that we are alone, but I think now we are not alone. Our brothers and sisters around the world are supporting us, and also the most important thing, Jesus is with us.
It's a surprisingly joyful evening. They get to dance, dance, and dance even more. It's so wonderful to see the joy in the midst of all this misery. We hope to be able to set up more of these spaces through local partners, because all of our little brothers and sisters in Iraq deserve the chance to forget the war for a few moments and just be kids again.
Isn't it lovely to see these little children dancing up and down? Quite a number of those children will have been traumatized. Maybe in front of their very eyes, their father out, or their mother severely wounded. And these times together with the children, to give them fun times, to help alleviate the sorrow, the grief, the hardship in their lives, is really bringing, as you see here, fun and joy, and something very special. Now, we've got a few, little bit longer, yeah? I'd like us just now to think a little bit, not so much just of Iraq, but think of where people, it is totally unsafe to worship as we've been enjoying worship here today. It is totally unsafe to sing songs out loud, play gorgeous music, old or modern. Totally safe, unsafe to talk about Jesus or the Bible or Christians. Totally unsafe to meet together. In places like North Korea, which is the very worst place to be a Christian, or Somalia, or Laos, Libya, Morocco, a number of other places, people are now meeting in secret. This is a secret church. And some people will meet maybe in somebody's home. They will have to come at night secretly, and maybe one by one staggered so that nobody detects there's a meeting together. At the most, there will be 10 or 12 people. Or they may be able to meet in a cafe where there's lots of hubbub going on. But they will need to speak very carefully and just be in conversation as you and I would be in a cafe and just talk about the one or the book or family. Or our Father. They dare not mention Jesus, the Bible, Christians. So the conversation is couched. And similarly, when they pray together, they will pray in code. Or it may be, as often happens in North Korea, that they find there's one other Christian they can meet with, and maybe it's just once a month, maybe less often than that. But they find somewhere out in the country, a remote place, and they meet together just for 2, 3, 5 minutes at the most, and away they go. Just think about our Bibles, how many versions we have, the freedom we have. And I don't know about you, but the courage it gives me, the support it gives me, the joy it gives me when I'm reading the Word of God, or even the challenge He chides us through His Word. But it's so precious And Brother Andrew first started the work of Open Doors in the 1950s. But the need for Bibles is still just the same. And still there are many people that haven't got the Bible in their own language. But what they do here in the persecuted church, they may have one Bible, they may share a page each, or they may just write down, they daren't write too much, just one verse, put it in the shoe, hide it. Mustn't be seen, because otherwise they may be imprisoned, tortured, death. And so I'd like us just to imagine for a moment just being in the secret church. And could you put up on the screen a song? And if we could just whisper the words of the song just quietly, would that be okay? So we'll just whisper it very quietly. And then we might just share just a very small snippet of the Bible together. And it may be that we've memorized. We're all familiar with this one, maybe. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. And then we maybe just touch each other or just stay in our group at the coffee table. And we silently pray for each other. If you would like to just pray for the person next to you or behind you, just quietly for about a minute or even less than that. That is service for the secret church. It may be literally as brief as that, and it may be only once every few weeks. So how important it is to have the Word of God in our hearts, to be able to memorize, to be able to have that hope, to have that assurance. Isn't it just wonderful that we have the scripture that says, one day there will be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. Our brothers and sisters, like never before, are needing to hold on to the Word of God, to the love of God, and just even to be able to meet for those few minutes with another believer, especially if they're a Muslim background believer and have been shunned by the whole of their family. They have no other family. It's the Christian family now. How much that means. We need to be praying for those that are persecuting our brothers and sisters. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. He is longing, even for these ISIS men and women, to come to know him. He is longing because he sent his Son for them. And we can be praying that they have dreams and visions of Jesus and they have the courage to come to him. Jesus, as it says in Matthew 26, his soul was crushed in grief the night before he was betrayed, when he was betrayed, and he said to his disciples, "Stay here and watch with me." And I'd like to invite you, if you're not already doing so, to sign up on a sheet outside. There's a table there with the sort of books and things like that. But to sign up where you can receive regular information from Open Doors as to how you might prayerfully support the work, and particularly at this moment, our brothers and sisters in Iraq, and I might say Syria too. And I just want to say thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. Well, if there was one thing that we could pray for right now as a church, what would you recommend we pray for?
I think to endure. It says love never fails, love never gives up. That our brothers and sisters won't give up hope or belief in Jesus.
Gosh, can we do that, please? So can we just turn to twos or threes and can we make that prayer? It doesn't need to be long, it doesn't need to be complex, but let's just pray for our brothers and sisters overseas that they would indeed endure in their faith. So can we do that now, just for a few minutes?